Hello, this is Steve Wiggins, and welcome to podcast number 13 of the Sects and Violence in the Ancient World blog. Today's topic will be Asherah. Asherah and I have been acquainted for many years. I did my dissertation on Asherah in the ancient world back a few years ago, and since I completed my work, which was published in 1993, I've more or less faded into the background in the subject area, but I keep an eye on what's happening in the field as far as I can. And it's been of some interest to me that as I wrote a couple of posts on Asherah for this blog in the last few days, that there's been a considerable amount of interest in what's going on with this goddess in the Bible and in the ancient world. Well, I thought it'd be appropriate to at least give a little background to who this goddess is and what we know about her and what is really utter speculation. To begin at the beginning, Asherah was an unknown character in the modern world until about the late 1920s when she was rediscovered at Ugarit. Now, the name, or the word, I should say, Asherah, occurs in various forms, sometimes plural, sometimes singular, in the Hebrew Bible 40 times. That is to say, the word Asherah in some form is present in the Hebrew Bible, and some people had an inkling, even early on, that this might be a reference to a goddess, although there was no direct evidence for that. Most of the references come in the Book of Kings and in what is typically called the historical literature, where it is used polemically. That is, the setting up of an Asherah is condemned as being against the basic principles of Yahwism. Now, this was the situation as it stood until the city of Ugarit was excavated until in the late 1920s, when tablets were discovered that mention a goddess named Atherat, the Ugaritic equivalents of Asherah, and all of a sudden our world on this goddess burst open. We now had texts that explicitly dealt with who this goddess was and what her role was in the larger mythological world of Israel's near and recent neighbors. It was an amazing step forward in our understanding of who this goddess was. Now, the material from Ugarit has a lot to say about Asherah. She is not the main character in any of the texts as we have them, unfortunately, but we do know that she appears quite frequently as the consort of Ael, the head of the Ugaritic Council of Gods, if you will, the most ancient of deities. And so she performs a role like that of the Queen Mother, where she is the one who is able to determine who the next king will be when a monarch among the gods steps down or is deposed from the throne. And she does have considerable influence over Ael, I hesitate to call him spouse, but her consort. He is deferential to her. So we have these texts that describe who Asherah is and what her relationship is among the Ugaritic deities, and it is the main source of information that we have about the goddess. Many of the studies that have appeared on Asherah, even before my own work on the goddess appeared, and some of those after, tend to focus mostly, though, on the biblical side of things, the evidence for Asherah in the Hebrew Bible. As I mentioned earlier, most of the material is polemical and falls into the range of the Books of Kings and their doppelgangers in the Books of Chronicles. Interestingly enough, the prophets are pretty much silent about Asherah. There are a few references, but there's nothing substantial there. And a few references in Deuteronomy, so most of the material falling into the purview of the Deuteronomistic history. That's really all we have about Asherah there. Now, after Asherah was discovered as a major goddess at Ugarit, it stood to reason that she must have had some presence elsewhere in the ancient world, and indeed she does. There are many references to her in very fragmentary form from ancient Mesopotamia. It goes back, or her presence goes back at least to some Sumerian material, where she's mentioned in votive inscriptions. She appears in various deity lists from ancient Mesopotamia, and seems to be associated with Martu, who is the god of the Amorites, if you will. The Amorites being the people who lived in what would later become the region of ancient Aram, or what we call Syria today. So she seems to be connected with that region throughout the Mesopotamian evidence as well. The ancient Hittites, the people who lived in what is now Turkey, did have at least one story that involved Asherah, apparently, and there that myth that involves her clearly puts her in a Semitic context again in the region of what is now Syria. To round up the rest of the evidence from the ancient world, she does appear as well in epigraphic South Arabian sources. This is the region of what is now known as Yemen, in the southern part of the Arabian Peninsula. And it's somewhat counterintuitive to people who are used to dealing with the ancient world to think that southern Yemen, separated by the wide body and the considerable distance of the Arabian desert, would actually have connections with the Semitic peoples to the north, but their religion does have influence from the northern regions, it's quite clear, and one of the deities they pick up in their celestial triad of the sun, moon, and Venus is Asherah. She's often associated with the sun in South Arabian sources, although at Ugarit some have suggested she has a solar connection, but that doesn't seem to be likely the case. Now, the material that is by far the most controversial concerning Asherah is a couple of sets of inscriptions that were found starting in the late 1960s at a place called Kirbet El Qom in Israel, and later some material that was found at a desert way station known as Kuntala Azrud in the region near the Sinai, which would have probably been under the control of Israel at the time. Both sets of inscriptions date from about the 8th century. What was really surprising here was when Kuntala Azrud was excavated, it was a one-period site. That is to say, there were no layers of a tell involved here. It was simply a site that was used and then abandoned eventually, as I say, in the 8th century before the Common Era. At that site, a couple of inscriptions were discovered, somewhat ambiguous, but they read something along the lines of, "May you be blessed by Yahweh of Samaria and his Asherah." Another inscription from that site read, "May you be blessed by Yahweh of Tema and his Asherah." So we had a couple of inscriptions that seemed to indicate that the God of Israel had a intimate connection in some way with Asherah. The thing that's not clear is whether or not this is a reference to the goddess or whether it's a reference to some sort of cultic device. By cultic device, I don't mean something used by a cult. The word cult in religious studies simply means anything having to do with worship. So a cultic object would be an object that was used in the context of worship. So something like an Asherah pole, as it's often described in the Bible, some sort of perhaps wooden object that refers to the goddess or is a symbolic representation of the goddess. So we don't know that this inscription or these inscriptions actually refer to the goddess Asherah, but it was an intriguing sort of connection, and people immediately took to it as being some kind of neat secretive reference to the God of Israel actually being married. And that kind of idea has a certain merit to it, because Asherah is always the spouse of the chief god wherever she's found. In all the various contexts in which she is referenced in the ancient world, she is always the spouse of, or the consort of, the chief god. So where Israel has a chief god, Yahweh, if she appears, she should be his spouse. The problem is the evidence isn't very good. The inscriptions we have are ambiguous, and the real reason that people like to associate Asherah as a goddess with the material at Kuntala Azrud is that there's also a little ink drawing on the same storage jar that has this inscription, or one of the inscriptions, that shows a couple of deities arm in arm, apparently. It can be fairly safely asserted that this deity, this portrayed on the storage jar, is actually Bes, a minor Egyptian protective deity. I don't think there's any case to be made for it being Asherah. The drawing does overlap the inscription. It seems that the inscription was actually written later than the drawing was made, and it doesn't seem in any way to be intentionally associated with it. We can see this pretty clearly if we look at the other material on this storage jar. The whole thing is covered with drawings and some writing, and no one really makes a case that any of the other drawings or inscriptions are meant to be related, just this one. And it seems to be the reason is that Asherah is mentioned along with Yahweh. Well, after this material became public in about 1976, people started to pay attention to a little-known inscription discovered at Kirbet El-Kom, a burial site in Israel. The inscription was actually published by William Deaver, an archaeologist who purchased it at an antiquity shop. After purchasing the stone, he was able to trace it back to Kirbet El-Kom and actually find its actual original spot. It had been chipped out of the wall before it had been taken to the antiquities dealer, and he was able to find a spot where the inscription fit very neatly back into its original place. So in the context of a tomb inscription, he published this without any reference to Asherah in it. And later, when people started to notice the inscription, they saw that there were letters that could be read as reading Asherah. The problem here is that the inscription is in poor state of preservation, in that it has been retraced many times. You can quite clearly see it's soft stone, and in this soft stone, people have traced over it with their fingernails or with some pointy object what the inscription said, and the result is that there are a lot of striations, a lot of ghost letters on the inscription, and there's not even a great deal of certainty about what the inscription says. But in all the excitement of finding Yahweh and Asherah together at Kuntala Ajrud, people started to read this inscription from Kirbet El-Kom as further evidence that Yahweh indeed had a spouse. Now, I'll be the first to admit that it makes perfectly good sense to see Yahweh as having a spouse, but the fact is the evidence simply isn't there yet, and I'd be glad to be proven wrong on this. I would be very happy to find some solid evidence that Yahweh and Asherah were considered a consort team in ancient Israel, but as far as we know, the evidence for that is really rather poor. The surprising thing about all of this is that the best material we have on Asherah is the material from Ugarit. My own work on this was published in the early 1990s, and to date it still stands as the only comprehensive treatment of Asherah in the Ugaritic material. Many scholars like to use the Ugaritic material for a jumping-off point to discuss where Asherah went from there, that is, namely, how she appeared in Israel and had a covert following among the unofficial religion, or maybe even the official religion of the ancient Israelites. But the fact is, she doesn't appear to have a strong indication that she was venerated in Israel that we know of, other than the fact that there was a cultic object called an Asherah that was used in her worship, apparently, or at least in the worship of Yahweh. It seems to me that we really want to understand ancient Asherah, understand who she was and what her role is, we need to look at the material from Ugarit, be willing to take the time and patience to understand how they understood their goddess, and realize that their perceptions of the goddess are primary. They understood who she was because she had an active cult there. They worshipped her. They knew who she was. There was no polemic against her. She was simply one of the gods of Ugarit. And so, before we get too excited about material that appears in other cultures, even though this may be some 40 years out of date, before we get too excited about material that appears in other cultures, we should pay attention to what is going on in ancient Ugarit before we start making comments or concerns or declarations about how Asherah was perceived in ancient Israel. The Ugaritic material is fascinating on its own right and could indeed support a cult of Asherah in ancient Israel, but we need to get the horse before the cart and look at the material that we actually have solid information on before we start making assertions about material that is highly questionable. To me, that seems to be good scholarship.